victory of Lord Ram.
It's called Ram Vijay. You've heard of that before? Where I come from, we have a big celebration on those days. You're not Ram Bhakta, so you don't know about these things. We have a big celebration. We make a effigy of Ravana. You all know who Ravana is? No, you don't. Okay. No culture. So Ravana is a big demon. He had 10 heads. So we make a big, big, sometimes as tall as a ceiling, effigy. That means like a paper thing made of, I mean, the paper. We have 10 heads there. And then we invite the devotees to shoot arrows that have fire on them at the Ravana who's made of paper or paper mache. And then Ravana bursts into flames. And everyone goes, Jai, Shri Ram Jai. So this is the celebration of that victory. I don't know why it's not a major holiday here. You know, we're Ram Bhaktas, but the rest of you, I guess you're just Narayan Bhaktas here. So, yeah, where I come from, we have red flags flying everywhere for Hanuman, but not here. No, too bad. So, first we're going to speak about Shripad Madhvacharya, and then we'll start talking about the glorious victory of Lord Ram, beginning with the pastime of after he crossed the bridge, Setubandha, to Lanka. And we're not going to tell everything, but there's a lot of information that I've gleaned from the Valmiki Ramayana. It's really interesting. Okay. So as far as Shripad Madhvacharya, he's known as Vayuputra. Vayuputra means he's the son of Vayu. Vayu is the wind god. The wind god is a great pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also he has very illustrious brothers, two brothers. One is Hanuman. None of you heard of Hanuman before, but later on we'll tell you about him. And the other one is Bhimsen. So, and being the son of the wind, he had such powers. He was like Superman, basically speaking. Or in India you have this superhero called Krish, right? He's an imitation of Superman. So, anyway, so he was born in a Brahmin family in a place called Udupi, which is in the modern Karnataka state. And his father's name was Madhyageha Bhatta. He was extraordinary as a child in many different respects, as far as his strength and his mystic powers. One time, a person who had lent his father money came to collect the money at his father's house, and the person just sat outside, refused to move, refused to take prasadam, refused to take water until he was paid back. And Shripad Madhvacharya just took some tamarind seeds, and the story goes he converted them to gold. Some stories say he converted them to gold, other stories say he just like bewildered the guy. But in any case, he was able to satisfy his father's debt. And also there was a big demon when he was young, in the form of a snake named Manimon, who appeared in his house, and Madhvacharya was able to crush this snake by putting his big toe down and crushing the snake's head. So he was quite a strong personality. In fact, when his mother wanted him, even if he was like 10 kilometers away, she would just call his name Anandatirtha. Well, Anandatirtha, later on he got that name. But she called out his name, and he flew through the air and arrived at his mother's feet. It's pretty good. So when he was about 8 years old, he announced to his parents, I'm taking sannyas. Now, one of the reasons he did that, of course it was a pastime, was that when he was very young, younger than that, they would go to the ashram of his guru named Achyutapreksha. And Achyutapreksha would give him sweets. So every time he go to the guru would give him sweets, and he said to the parents, I want to be with that sweet guru. So Prabhupada did the same thing. He gave sweets and cookies to the little children. And the parents became very distressed when they heard that their son wanted to take sannyas, because in Indian culture, the son's supposed to take care of the parents. That's the old age insurance, and there was no other son. So they were just like thinking, who's going to take care of us? And then Madhvacharya said, all right, we can wait to take sannyas until you have another son. They were thinking, we're not going to have another son, because they were quite old at that point. But eventually, when Madhvacharya was 11 years old, his parents gave birth to a son. And it's interesting, that son later joined Madhvacharya's ashram too. So in other words, Madhvacharya's brother, and whose name later on became Vishnutirtha, was given sannyas. That's after the parents passed away. That's all right. You know, after your parents pass away, you can take sannyas. So Chyutapraksha, Madhvacharya's guru, was actually a Mayavadi. And Madhvacharya sort of corrected his guru many times, which really is not the best etiquette, but if your guru is a Mayavadi, it's all right to do that. And he pointed out works, errors in the different Sanskrit works. And finally, his guru just like didn't want anything to do with him. Eventually, his guru took initiation from him. Because his guru's mother, see, mothers know best. So his guru's mother said, you should take initiation from Anandatirtha or Sripad Madhvacharya. But this was after some time he did that. So he was also called Purnapragya. Purnapragya means one who was full of all wisdom, of all knowledge. He was expert in debate. He converted so many people to Krishna consciousness by debating them, and he gave them sannyas after he defeated them. Even he defeated, like there were some ladies he was arguing with, he defeated them, and they didn't take sannyas, but they became devotees of the Supreme Personality of God. And of course, his sect is known as the Tattvavada sect, which, even though they're in the same sampradaya as us, you know, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, they have a slightly different understanding of certain aspects of the philosophy. For example, they considered the demigods to be the greatest devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they consider that some souls are so eternally conditioned, they're not getting out of the material world. So we don't accept that. And they tend to be very ritualistic. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring Udupi, he came in contact with the Tattvavadis and basically defeated him. They got very angry with him. So Sripad Madhvacharya also visited Vedavyas, the author of the Vedic literature, the compiler, not the author, but the compiler of the Vedic literatures. He went up to the Himalayas, actually it's called Uttara Badri, that means the highest aspect of the Himalayas, Badri Anath. And his disciple, Satyatirtha, tried to follow him, and Madhvacharya sort of motioned to him, and Satyatirtha flew back through the air and landed back in the Brahmacharya ashram. Actually, he was a sannyasi. He disappeared from this world after giving a lecture. He was giving a lecture on the Aitareya Upanishad on the ninth day of the Shukla Paksha in the month of Magh in 1319. And his samadhi is in Bhadarikashram. And that's where he serves Narayan. And he serves Srila Vyasadeva in that particular place. So devotees go there to Bhadarikashram to take darshan of him, that is his deity. And if you're actually Krishna conscious, you can see Sripad Madhvacharya. Also, he was very expert in martial arts. He and his disciples would have regular wrestling tournaments. You can imagine wrestling with a guru. But he would wrestle, and he was so strong that one time his disciple Satyatirtha was attacked by a tiger, and Madhvacharya separated them both, and the tiger ran away with his tail between his legs. I mean, there was a big wrestler, a strong man, who challenged Madhvacharya to a wrestling match. And Madhvacharya said, if you can move one of my toes, you can win. So this wrestler, he was just like trying to move the toes somehow or other. And he couldn't even move one toe of Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya also discovered the deity of Gopal. There's a story as he was bathing in the sea, and there was a chunk of Gopi Chandan, and it broke open, And there was this deity of Gopal, and nobody could carry the deity except for Madhvacharya because he was so strong. He installed the deity there. That deity is still there in Udupi. In addition, Madhvacharya worshipped the original deities of Sita and Ram that were established in the Sun Gods dynasty. Those deities were passed down to Sita and Ram. Lord Ramchandra kept them in a closet because he didn't worship his own deity. But then later, he gave that deity to a Brahmin because the Brahmana would take a vow not to eat until he saw Lord Rama that day. And Lord Rama didn't want the Brahmin to fast. So the Brahmana had the deity. Later on, the Brahmana gave the deity to Hanuman. Hanuman gave the deity to Shripad Madhvacharya. So that deity is also there in Udupi. The original deities in the Ikshvaku dynasty of Sita Ram, not Hanuman, just Sita Ram. Okay, so that's Shripad Madhvacharya, whose appearance day it is today. And now we'll get to the Ram Vijaya. Let's see, let me find this. My electronic book. By the mercy of Dwarkadish. No. So, okay. So we'll bring you up to date with the story. Because there's a lot of details. We may not have time to tell all the details, but I'm going to try my best to go quickly. Because there's some details you may not be aware of. So, what happened is that the monkeys and Lord Ram and Lakshman, of course, Sugriv, and all the associates, they crossed the bridge. The bridge it's described was 80 miles wide. You know what a mile is? That's like more than 100 kilometers wide. And 800 miles long. So whether the present-day Lanka is the actual Lanka or not, that we don't know. Or maybe it floated closer to India or something like that. Because you're talking about millions of years. You know, they say they discovered a bridge. I know that. But the point is, it says it's 800 miles away. That's what the Valmiki Ramayan says. So, when they arrived there, two of Ravana's spies, named Shuk and Sarana, were sent by Ravana to spy on the camp, the encampment, because Ravana was getting quite nervous at that point. He never expected them to reach the opposite shore, so he sent them, and they assumed the guise of apes. That's monkeys, for those of you who don't know what apes are. Of course, Vibhishan, he was able to see them, because he's a Rakshasa too, a friendly Rakshasa. And so he was able to see, oh, this is Shuk and Sharan. But Lord Ram didn't do any, even though the other monkeys wanted to just thrash them and cut their heads off and kill them, but Lord Ram was very merciful. And he said, let them see what they have to see and report back to Ravan, because he knew that would make Ravan more nervous. Because later on, Shuk and Sharan reported to Ravana, and they said, Ravan, there's no chance you're going to win. You should make peace. And Ravana went up to the peak of Trikuta, and he questioned Sharana about, you know, who the various soldiers were on the opposite side. And they gave amazing descriptions of the powers and the numbers of monkeys. There were literally tens of millions, hundreds of millions of monkeys. Not just like a few thousand. I mean, practically, if you read the Ramayana, it's like billions of monkeys. The place was crawling with monkeys. And so, the Sharan, he described everything. And Ravana becomes very angry with Sharan for praising the monkeys. And he says, I'm going to kill you. But then he says, actually, you're a good devotee. My devotee. And I remember you were so faithful and everything, so I'm not going to kill you. So then they sent another spy named Sardula to spy some more. And he's captured too, and he's frightened. You know, he takes the form of a bird, and he's frightened, and he doesn't know what to do. And Ravana, therefore, meets with his advisors. And he meets with someone called Vijujiva, who is a great magician, and he has this magician create a magical head of Rama, not a real head, and brings the head to Sita. He tells Sita how Rama and the monkeys were killed when they were sleeping And he places Ram's bow, which he appears to be Ram's bow before Sita. Sita laments, and she actually gets angry at Kaikeyi at this point. She says, this is Kaikeyi's fault. So then one of the guards comes in and tells Ravan, as Ravan is trying to harass Sita Devi, that Prahasta needs to see him immediately. It's urgent. So when Ravan left, the head disappeared. And so Ravan meets with his generals and he plans his strategy. In the meantime, there's a good Rakshasini. Her name is Sarama. And she tells Sita, this is all a trick, and don't worry about it. And she gives Sita the good news that they're still alive, that there's going to be a war. They hear all the sounds of the trumpets blaring, and Sita becomes very happy at that point. So Sita has her own spies. She tells Sarama, who's the friendly Rakshasini, actually the daughter of Vibhishan. So she tells Sarama to spy on the Rakshasas and find out what they're doing, so she could know what happens. So Sarama actually somehow or other puts on a disguise and relates to Sita Devi what's happening. Sharma says that all the Ravana's advisors are telling Ravana to give Sita back to Ram. Ravana refuses, and also Malyavan tells Ravana to give back Sita Devi. Ravana rejects and he makes preparations for war, and there's different Rakshasas who guard the different gates. I'm not going to read about that right now because we want to finish this in class. So Vibhishan also has spies. His four spies accompanied him to Lord Ram, and they report back everything, and Ram plans to go to the northern gate to fight directly with Ravana. So Ram tells his army that only 7 people should have human forms. Everybody else should keep their monkey forms or bear forms. There's monkeys and bears. So Ram and some of the generals, his generals, they scale another mountain called the Suvela Mountain to see Lanka, to see what they're going to be fighting in the next day or two. And they're amazed. But as they look, they see Ravana on the top of this Trikut Mountain. He's in his, you know, spy place. He's looking out to see what's happening with the monkeys. And Sugriva loses his temper. He just can't control himself. When he sees Ravan, he flies to fight Ravan, insults him, knocks his crown off, and there's a ferocious fight. And it appears Sugriva's winning until Ravana does some Rakshasa things. You know, he appears in different places, he plays some tricks, and then Sugriva flies off. And Ram chastises Sugriva, you've endangered everything. You know, why did you act impetuously? But Sugriva tells him, because I couldn't restrain myself. I just thought, here is the heinous kidnapper of Sita Devi. Then, after that, they approach the city and surround it and all the gates, and there's billions, actually, the Ramayana says there's billions of apes. Can you imagine billions of apes? And they were flying through the air and everything like that. And so then Ram sends Angada as a peace emissary to Ravan. Angada flies in and challenges Ravana in Ram's name, saying that Ravana will be purified by being killed by Ram's arrows. This is your method of purification, your sadhana. And then he actually flies to the peak of the palace, Angada, after he tries to make peace, and Ravana refuses. And he cuts off the top of the palace. Then he flies back to Ram, and then there's fighting. So even during the night, the fighting continues. That's a little bit different than normal Kshatriya fighting, where you're supposed to stop when the sun goes down. And the first night, the soldiers can't distinguish friend from foe, because it's dark. And so many kill people in their own armies. Indrajit is defeated, actually, at this point, and becomes invisible and starts firing weapons and covers Ram's body and binds him with a snake weapon. And the same thing happens with Lakshman. Indrajit is in ecstasy. He says, I have killed Ram and Lakshman, and no one, including all the demigods, can save them. And everyone goes into a severe state of depression. Vibhishan calms everybody down. And then Sita is taken in the Pushpaka Vimana to see Ram and Lakshman lying that, like that. So Ram is, he's just trying to discouraged Sita the whole time. Look, there's your husband and your brother-in-law, and they're finished. And she starts crying and lamenting. She says, these sages were wrong when they predicted my good fortune to become the queen. These sages, they were in Maya. So she was thinking, you know, what is this astrology business? You know, it doesn't work. So there's another one. Trijata, who's another good Rakshasini, assures Sita that they are not dead. The monkeys are not depressed. And there's also life still in their bodies. So Rama regains consciousness first and laments over Lakshman's condition, says he cannot return and face Sumitra, who is Lakshman's mother, unless Lakshman is saved. And they're both like entrapped at that point. And Ram wants to end his life at this particular point, because what's life without my brother? Vibhishan enters, and everybody's scared because they think it's Indrajit again. Because Vibhishan is part of the same family. They have the same genes. And everyone's lamenting. And what happens eventually is a big wind is heard. And they hear the sound of the Vedas, because the sound of the Vedas is made when Garuda flaps his wings. And Garuda arrives, and the snakes run away, they flee, and Garuda wipes the bodies of Ram and Lakshman with his hand, and then they get completely better, and then he takes off again. Oh, actually, he explains that the arrows are the sons of Kadru, and only he can defeat them. Ram asks, who are you? And Garuda says, I'm your friend. You just don't recognize me. Because this is Yogamaya, where the Lord actually forgets. He agrees to forget his exalted position. Very wonderful. So the monkeys start yelling in victory. I don't know how they yell, how a monkey yells, but they yell. Millions, billions of monkeys, they scream. And Ravana, he hears this, he becomes really bewildered. And he says, what's going to happen? So he sends one of his fighters, Dumraksha, to fight. And Dumraksha is killed by Hanuman. And there's another one, Rajadhamsa. And then he's killed by Angada. Then another one, Akampana, is sent out. And he's killed by Hanuman with a big tree. He just hits him on the head, smashes his skull. There's a big celebration. Hanuman just like holds his hands up and everybody's happy. And Ravana becomes very angry and worried. So he sends his commander-in-chief, Prahasta, with the best of all the fighters. Prahasta goes out with three-quarters of Ravana's soldiers. And they see inauspicious symptoms. Prahasta's chariot is smashed, and then his head is smashed in 1,000 pieces by Neil with a stone. His head just like all over the place. And Ravana gets angry, and he comes out himself, tells his army to guard the city. Sugriva is knocked unconscious by Ravana's arrow. And Lakshman wants to fight. So Hanuman is hit by Ravana. He recovers. Then Ravana knocks Hanuman out unconscious again. Ravana hits Hanuman with his two hands. Hanuman's unconscious. Then Neil fights with Ravana. Mountains are thrown. They're cut up by arrows. Trees are cut up. Neil makes himself very, very tiny. And he goes on Ravana's flagstaff. That means the pole that holds the flag. And he starts jumping on Ravana's flag, his crown, and his bow. You know, there's a little tiny monkey about this big, and he says, and Ravana just doesn't know what he's doing. You know, it's like you have an insect, you keep swatting him, and he keeps moving from one place to another. Everyone starts, like, laughing at Ravana. It becomes a big joke at this time. But Ravana takes the fire god's arrow and aims at Neil. Neil falls down, but he does not die. And Ravana fires arrows, and he shoots them at Lakshman. He hits Lakshman on the forehead with the missile of Lord Brahma. That's a Brahmastra. And Lakshman starts swaying back and forth. But he's not hurt. He breaks Ravana's bow. Ravana hurls a javelin at Lakshman's chest. Lakshman is knocked unconscious. Ravana tries to pick him up, but he can't. Because Lakshman actually supports all the earth planets and all the planets because he's Balaram, he's Shesh. Hanuman becomes so angry that he attacks Ravana with two fists. Ravana falls down and vomits blood and faints. But Hanuman, he pays attention to Lakshman at this time. He takes Lakshman to Ram, and the javelin actually leaves Lakshman at this point, and Lakshman is healed. Ram goes personally to Ravan. Ram gets on Hanuman's shoulders. Ravan shoots at Hanuman. Ram cuts Ravana's chariot to pieces, strikes Ravana on the chest with an arrow. Ravana totters, and Ram breaks the crown of Ravana, and then he defeats Ravana, and he tells Ravana, "You look really tired. You should go home and fight another day, you know. I feel sorry for you, you know, poor Ravan." You know, just to make Ravan more upset. You know, that's the worst thing. Poor boy, you know, just go home. Take a little nap. You'll be fine. So come back tomorrow to be killed, okay? Is that a deal? You'll have an appointment for tomorrow. So Ravana, completely embarrassed, goes back. And then he remembers different curses that he's gotten from one person named Anuranya, who was the predecessor in the Ikshaku dynasty, one of the ancestors of Lord Ram, who cursed Ravan as Ravana was killing him to die from one of his descendants. And also he was cursed by Vedavati, who was Sita Devi in her previous life. He was cursed by Parvati. I don't have time to tell about all the curses. So he decides to wake up his wonderful brother, Kumbhakarna, who has gotten the benediction that he can sleep for 6 months and wake up just to eat prasadam. Actually, not prasadam. He eats any damn thing. People, you know, liquor, whatever. So the demons, they try to enter the cave where Kumbhakarna is, but there's a wind coming in and out because, you know, he's breathing. And he's also snoring. So, you know, just like in the ashram, I can hear some devotees snore. So he was, when he breathes out in the cave, there's and then he breathes in. You understand? So there's so much wind coming in and out of the cave. So they eventually enter, and they bring with them meat, and they scream, and they bring elephants to dance on his body. Finally, they wake him up. He eats tons of food and takes liquor, and then asks, "What's the problem? Why'd you wake me up? I was having a nice rest." And then they tell him, and then he gets drunk again. And he goes to Ravan. And on the way to see Ravan, Ram and the monkeys see him going to see Ravan. He's not fighting at that point. And ask who he is, and Vibhishan tells them the story of Kumbhakarna, how he can eat everything and anything at any time. So there's the whole curse by Lord Brahma to sleep forever, but then it's mitigated because Ravan asked Lord Brahma just to make it every 6 months. So Kumbhakarna asks Ravana, "What's your problem?" Ravana explains. Kumbhakarna chastises Ravana, "You should have followed Vibhishan's recommendation." He preaches to Ravana, but Ravana says, "Don't worry about the past. We have a problem with present. Whatever has happened, whatever I did wrong in the past, that's gone." So Kumbhakarna says, "Don't worry, I'm going to kill Ram." So I'm going to skip some of this because we don't have much time. So Kumbhakarna has some fight with Mahodara right now because Mahodara doesn't like the fact that Kumbhakarna insulted Ravana. So Kumbhakarna goes out to fight. Monkeys are frightened. They run away. Angada says it's just a machine. Don't worry about it. Just a yantra. But Kumbhakarna starts to demolish the monkey army. The monkeys are frightened. They run away. And Angada says, "Don't run away. If you die in the battlefield, you'll go to heaven." He uses the same argument that Krishna uses in the Bhagavad Gita. So Hanuman, high in the air, hits Kumbhakarna. Kumbhakarna hits Hanuman, and he vomits blood. Then Kumbhakarna takes Sugriva captive. He actually puts him right under his arm or something like that. But Sugriva wakes up, and he bites off the ears and nose of Kumbhakarna. This is in the Valmiki Ramayana. Everything I'm telling you is from the Valmiki Ramayana, because I've taken extensive notes on it. So he just, the nose is gone. It's not that he just bites it, but the nose is gone and ears are gone. So Kumbhakarna is walking around without ears and nose. Then Kumbhakarna gets so angry he starts eating the monkeys. And he doesn't even discriminate. He's so angry, he even eats rakshasas. And the monkeys are eating. They start coming out of his ears and whatever nose is left there. And ears are left there. And Kumbhakarna fights with Lakshman. But he says, I want to fight with Ram. Ram comes out and... Let's see. And yes. And then Kumbhakarna tells Vibhishan. Vibhishan's also there. I can't tell the difference between family and friends. I don't want to hurt you. And Kumbhakarna says, I'm not going to fight with Vibhishan because you're supposed to carry out the dynasty after everybody dies. So Vibhishan starts crying because he really likes his brother. I mean, it's natural for people to like your brother, even if your brother's a demon. So, and then Ram challenges and fires arrows after some fighting. He cuts off Kumbhakarna's one arm with the wind god weapon, and he uses the Indra's weapon to cut off the other arm. Then he cuts off the legs, and he fills Kumbhakarna's mouth with arrows. And with Indra's arrow, he cuts off the head. The head falls and blocks the entrance to Lanka. It's so big. I mean, the head is like bigger than this building of Kumbhakarna. And the body falls in the sea. Many monkeys and others are killed by the falling body of Kumbhakarna. So Ravana laments, but then he says, I have more sons. So he sends the sons Trishira, Devantaka, Nirantaka, Mahodara, Atikai, and Mahaparshva to fight. And Ravana feels much better. Now I'm going to win. And they enter the battlefield roaring, and the monkeys roar louder. There's a roaring competition between the Rakshasas and the monkeys. Then Angada kills Nirantaka. Then he kills Karantaka. Then Hanuman kills Devantaka. Neil kills Mahodara. And Hanuman breaks Trishira's javelin and punches Trishira's. Trishira's actually has three heads. And Hanuman, with a sword, cuts off the three heads of Trishira's. Then there's another one called Mata. That doesn't mean mother, but he's a demon. Who's killed by an ape. And the armies of Rakshasas run away. And then Atikai, the son of Ravana, challenges. He's as big as a mountain. The monkeys are afraid. Atikai is flying the flag of Rahu, which is the inauspicious planet. So Lakshman challenges him. And Atikai says, you were too young to fight. Go back home. You know, be with your mommy. And Lakshman fires the arrows. There's a big fight. Then the wind god tells Lakshman to use Brahma's weapon, and shaped like a moon crescent, he cuts off the head of Atikai. Lakshman is successful. Ravana gets more depressed, and they don't have any antidepressants there for him. So Indrajit decides to enter. He performs the sacrifice, offers a sheep's head. He gets the weapons, especially the weapon of Lord Brahma. He fights from the sky, and he knocks out 67 crores of monkeys. A crore is 10 million, for those of you who don't know. So 67 times 10 million, that's 670 million. Monkeys were knocked out. Ram and Lakshman are also knocked out. That's because they were honoring Lord Brahma. Anyway, so Hanuman and Sugriva go and find Jambavan. Jambavan asks if Hanuman is alive. And they're surprised that he's not asking about anybody else, Ram or anybody else. Why are you asking about Hanuman? What does he have to do with the whole thing? But he explains that Hanuman can save them all. Ram and Lakshman can't even open their eyes. They're in so much pain. So Hanuman is sent to the mountain, the Mrityu Sanjeevani, which is all the way in the Himalayas, and Hanuman is told how to find the herbs, but when he goes there, the herbs hide from him, so he picks up the whole mountain, brings the mountain back, and Hanuman gets angry at the mountain. That's why he picks it up. And he brings the whole thing back, gets to Lanka, and everybody who inhales the scent of the herbs becomes rejuvenated. That means all the monkeys who were killed on the battlefield, they come back to life again. But the Rakshasas don't, because what the Rakshasas did is they threw the bodies of the other Rakshasas in the ocean. You understand? Because they didn't want to get discouraged by seeing all the bodies around. So all the monkeys, no monkey is dead anymore. Even that 67 crores, they're back in life again. So the apes advance on the city with their firebrands. That means like torches, not electric torches, you know. You know, here you call a flashlight a torch, but we don't do that. A torch is something that has a flame on it, not a flashlight. You got to learn your English. So, it's true. A torch is a flame when you put gasoline or something on top of a stick, and that's a torch. Torches don't have batteries. So Ravana, he gets very angry and sends the son of Kumbhakarna, and that's Kumbha, a new Kumbha. And Angada kills many of them single-handedly, but gets knocked out by Kumbha, who also knocks out Dvidvida and Mainda. Then Sugriva comes and breaks Kumbha's bow and kills him. And then Hanuman kills Nikumbha. First he throws him in the water, and he bounces back, but then Hanuman eventually kills him. And Hanuman separates his head from the body. And there's another one, Makaraj, who's the son of Kara, who attacks Ram, and then he's killed. Then Ravana tells Indrajit, who fights from the sky and showers arrows on everybody, and he's invisible. No one can see or hit him with an arrow. Lakshman wants to use the Brahmastra to kill all the Rakshasas, but Ram says, no, it's not appropriate. Don't hurt people who are not fighting. I will kill him myself. That's my business. Then Indrajit makes a black magic copy of Sita Devi and brings her before Hanuman and kills her right before Hanuman. Hanuman, depressed, goes into an anger fit and kills many Rakshasas. Then he goes to Ram to tell him the news that Sita Devi is dead. And Ram gets super depressed. And Lakshman consoles him by preaching the Bhagavad Gita philosophy that actually, you know, don't worry, we're not the body. And then they become a little atheistic at that point. They say, well, maybe there's no Dharma in this universe. You know, is there actually a God? They question the existence of God, which is funny because Ram is God. And so Indrajit uses this whole thing as a diversion so he can do a sacrifice for this deity of their family called Nikumbila. Sounds interesting. Nikumbila. So he got a benediction from Lord Brahma that if he does a sacrifice for Nikumbila, that he will become invincible and have a chariot. Nobody can defeat him. Then Vibhishan says, this is what's happening. He explains to Ram and Lakshman, don't worry. Ravana would never kill or have anyone kill Sita Devi. He's too attached to her. then Vibhishan tells him what's actually happening. Go and stop the sacrifice and kill Indrajit. So Lakshman goes accompanied by Hanuman and his army. And it was predicted when the sacrifice would be stopped, at that particular point, Indrajit would die. So it's described that actually Hanuman passes urine on the sacrifice. And that really, not so nice for a sacrifice. So, and then there's a big fight between Hanuman and all the Rakshasas. And Vibhishan points out where the fire sacrifice is, right closer, there's a banyan tree, which Indrajit goes to, which has like all these demons there. And he gets power before he fights. So don't let him get to the banyan tree. And Indrajit gets very angry at Vibhishan. Vibhishan insults Indrajit. And Lakshman fights, sitting on Hanuman's soldiers. And there's a big fight between Indrajit and Lakshman. And the monkeys destroy Indrajit's chariot. Vibhishan encourages everybody, and there's a big fight. We don't have much time. Eventually, Lakshman fires Indra's weapon, saying, if Ram is the soul of righteousness, slay this demon. And Indrajit's head is cut off. Rakshasas run away. Vibhishan praises Lakshman. And Ram puts Lakshman on his lap and praises him. Lakshman is suffering from some wounds, so there's this Sushena, who's the medical man there. He's like the Rupanuga of the monkeys. And he's restored, and Lakshman is restored. All the injured monkeys and bears restored again. And they give him this powder to inhale. Ravana becomes so angry at this point, fire starts coming from him.
Everyone is afraid. He says, I'm going to kill Sita. So he approaches her, but he's talked out of it by the other Rakshasas. So he orders all the remaining Rakshasas to kill Ram. Ram uses the Gandharva weapon to remain invisible and fights so that no one sees him. They see hundreds or thousands of Rams fighting each other. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? So the Rakshasas are all killed, basically, and there's very few of them left. So Ravana goes out in his chariot with 8 horses. There's inauspicious signs for Ravana. Sugriva slays this other Rakshasa, Virupaksha, by slapping him on the forehead. Ravana tells Mahodara to kill them all. Sugriva kills his horses and cuts off the head of Mahodara. The Rakshasas flee in terror. Angada slays Mahaparsha. And then first Jambavan kills the horses, and Angada strikes Mahaparsha on the heart and kills him there. This is better than a soccer game, isn't it? I mean, you know, this is much more exciting than any rugby game. Ravan starts attacking everybody with Brahma's missile. Ram twangs his bow, and everyone falls on the ground just by hearing the twanging of the bow. You know, the sound weapon. Lakshman fires arrows at Ravan, but Ravan cuts the arrows down and ignores Lakshman and goes to Ram. Ravan uses the Asura missile. Ram counters with the fire god missile. Lakshman cuts the flag, the head of the driver, and severs the bow of Ravan. This is very exciting. We're almost finished. Vibhishan kills the horses of Ravan. Ravan hurls a javelin at Vibhishan. Lakshman cuts it down. Ravan hurls a second javelin at Vibhishan, but Lakshman interferes and tries to cut it down. But Lakshman actually becomes hit with it at that particular point, trying to protect Vibhishan. Ram gets very worried and prays, "May all be well with you." The javelin has actually hit the heart region of Lakshman, but Ram keeps on fighting. The apes can't pull out the javelin that's hit Lakshman's heart. Ram pulls it out and breaks it into 2 pieces. Ram vows to kill Ravan in 1 hour. And Sushatan comes back and cures Lakshman. And Hanuman actually goes to the mountain a second time and brings the mountain a second time. You didn't know this. He comes 2 times with the mountain. They get the herbs again, and then Hanuman carries the mountain back. Lakshman gets instantly healed. And Lakshman says to Ram, "Kill this Ravan." So Ravan gets another chariot, and also Malati comes down with Indra's chariot. Malati is the driver of Indra, and gives Ram the bow of Indra and celestial armor. And Ravan fires the snake arrows at Ram, and Ram fires the Garuda arrows at Ravan. So that eats the snakes. Birds eat snakes, or the birds eat the arrows. Ravan cuts Ram's flag. Asuras cry, "Victory!" to Dasagriva. Ravan throws his spear. Ram can't stop it with arrows, but he stops the javelin somehow or other and breaks it into 6 pieces and catches it with his hand. And Ram pierces Ravana. Ravana is bewildered. The chariot driver takes Ravana away. Ravana chastises his driver for taking him out of the battle. The driver said, "I'm just protecting your life. You were in trouble." Ram gets tired at this point. He said, "This is exhausting." So Agastya Muni appears in the sky and teaches him this Aditya Hridaya, which is the mantra of the sun. And you get your power from the sun. And we find that nowadays, even yogis, they can look at the sun and get power from the sun. They don't have to eat anymore. That's Surya. So Ram does his achman, chants the mantra, twangs his bow. Ravana is moving in the counterclockwise direction. So Ram takes Indra's bow, and there's inauspicious signs for Ravan. Both armies just stand still and watch at this point. They don't fight anymore. And Ram cuts Ravana's flag up into bits. Ravana fires the arrows at Ram's horses, but the horses are not damaged because they're Indra's horses. Matali is shot, but he's not hurt. The horses of both chariots keep brushing up against each other. Ram gets angry and cuts off 100 heads of Ravana. In other words, each time he cuts off a head, another head grows back in its place. Matali says, "Use the Brahma missile." Ram fires it and hits Ravana's heart. Ravana dies, the Rakshasas run, apes run after the Rakshasas, flowers and drums from the sky come, congratulations, and Vibhishan starts crying over Ravana's death. So this is the celebration of Ram Vijay. Any questions about any of these things? I have more details, but these are some of the basic details from the Valmiki Ramayana. Any questions? I know it differs from the movie, but the movie is not the authorized version of the Ramayana. Yeah.
The reports of satellite sightings of the bridge to the lake, is it authentic?
I am not sure. The scientists say that they've seen something that was man-made. They called Adam's Bridge. That's from India to Lanka. Whether that was actually the bridge or not, it's hard to say, because in the Valmiki Ramayana it describes it was 80 miles wide. That's pretty wide. That's almost as wide, I guess, from one side of Bitulebu to another, right? And 800 miles long. That's like not quite all the way to New Zealand. Right? That is all the way to New Zealand. It's like you had a bridge. You wouldn't need to get a visa to go to New Zealand or migrate. You could just march. Can you imagine something so big? Fiji would be empty after a while. Yeah. Say to Bunda, say to Bunda. Who would take care of the temple? Take the temple with them? Yeah, you could on a bridge that big. So, any other questions? I mean, it's a very important day in the Vaishnav calendar, the day of Ram Vijay. It's a victory for Lord Ram over the Rakshasas, over Ravana, and winning back Sita. Of course, Sita Devi was not actually kidnapped by Raman. It was Maya Sita. And that Maya Sita fell in love with Lord Ram. She wanted to marry Lord Ram. And Ram said, no, I'd marry the real Sita, not Maya Sita. And then Lord Ram said, but in a future incarnation, I will marry you. So later on, what happened was that Lord Narayan was in the spiritual world with Lakshmi, and this sage, Bhrigu Muni, kicked Lord Narayan in the chest, just testing out to see how much in the mode of goodness he was. You can try that with other devotees to see if they're actually in the mode of goodness. You kick them in the chest. And if they get angry, they're not qualified. So you're not qualified. But if... Go around today. That's my advice. Yeah. Start kicking each other in the chest. So anyway, Lakshmi got very angry. We know she also cursed all the brahmanas to remain poverty-stricken from that time forth. So she also left. She left Narayan. And Narayan without Lakshmi, you know, he loves Lakshmi. And he was bereft, and he went down to earth to lament the loss of Lakshmi. He was just wandering around like a poor person. Because without Lakshmi, you're poor, right? This is a pastime. Obviously, the Lord can manifest millions of Lakshmis from his body. Lakshmi Sahasrasa, Sambrahma, Sevimanam, Govindamadi Purusham, Tamahamrajami. Obviously, he can do that. So he was wandering, where is my Lakshmi? Where is my Lakshmi? And so as he was wandering as a poor man, he became adopted by another family. And then he fell in love with this girl who was Maya Lakshmi. He didn't have enough money to marry Maya Lakshmi because she was from a very rich family. And so he had to borrow money from Kubera. And he had to establish his palace in the grounds of the Varaha temple. So he had a debt to Varaha and Kubera. So he married this girl. They had a nice life. But then the real Lakshmi came. And he was thinking, uh-oh. You know, just like if you're caught with something, you want to run away. So he turned into a deity. Did you know that? Yeah, that was Balaji. He turned into the deity. And Maya Sita also turned into a deity. And also Lakshmi turned into a deity. So that's Sri, Bhu, and of course there's Neil, also the energies of the Lord. And that's how Balaji came down to the earth planet. And to this day, the devotees have to keep paying back Kuvera for all the money that Balaji borrowed to get married. So that's why they have those big donation box. Everyone's supposed to pay back Kuvera, help them pay back Kuvera. So anyway, so that's the story. I think we have to end now. But that's the story of how the Lord married Maya Sita later on. Because any woman who comes in contact with Ram will never be satisfied with an ordinary man, right? That's what Rukmini said to Krishna. Krishna said to Rukmini one time, when they were quiet, when they were grandparents, he said, you know, you should have married Shishupal. Nobody knows what caste I came from. You know, nobody knows my background. You made the wrong choice. You're still young and beautiful. So you go out and find another husband. So what she did is she fainted at that point. Krishna was just trying to make her angry. You know that story, right? And then she fainted, and Krishna manifests an extra two arms to catch her as she fainted. So she never got angry. Never got angry. But Satyabhama was the opposite. Krishna didn't have to try to get her angry. She got angry naturally. Okay, on that note, we'll offer our obeisances to Lord Ram and Sri Padmavacharya. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.